Hey, Chris Manning here from Lockdown Cavs. Coming up on today's show, it's a Tyronn Lue crash course reflecting on the Cavs coach, his time in Cleveland, and kind of where we think would be a good fit for him going forward, because it seems pretty likely that at some point he's going to get another job, and I think he very much deserves it. That's all coming up today on Lockdown Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers. Your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the cube.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Evan, I just want to start off the show by asking, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. What is something you've done lately that has just made you happy for whatever reason? Just bringing this on you, so I apologize.
It's not a dramatic pause for comedy's sake to make it seem like I'm dark and depressing.
You're the Joker. Okay, I get it.
No, I'm including my back catalog of games I've been meaning to play and finish up, and that's been fun. The Super Mario 3D collection comes out next Friday, which has me pretty hyped. But other than that, like, just reading, going on walks and runs, enjoying nature and everything. I don't know, just this general stuff. How about you?
I've been rewatching I watched them all recently. Rewatched all the Daniel Craig, James Bond movies. Skyfall, pretty freaking good movie.
Skyfall's good. I thought of Daniel Radcliffe for some reason when he first said that, and I'm like,
oh my god,
Daniel
Radcliffe
wasn't Harry, or he was Harry Potter. He wasn't James Bond.
Yeah, I think those movies are pretty freaking good. I even like Spectre. The worst one is by far is Quantum of Solace. So not that's this is James. This has been James Bond Corner on Lockdown Cavs. But if you're listening for the first time, this is not a James Bond podcast. Although based on how long we might go without basketball, Evan and I might just be like talking about nothing.
Like Bond.
Yeah, they're good. I'm very excited for No Time to Die.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be enjoyable.
Like, chucks a lot of boxes for me. Carrie Fukunaga, again. Just a lot to like there. Anyway, I'm Chris Manning, one of the hosts here. We do the Ineligible Man Downfield newsletter with Jordan Zerm. Run Fear the Sword with Evan. Also, I'm at places like Cleveland Magazine and Forbes. Evan, why don't you just run through your bio real quick here?
I run the show on Locked On Cavs. I'm the more chaotic brain dead of the bunch. I'm not as analytically focused as Chris is, and I'm just kind of the wild card who gets frustrated when we disagree on things. But we also run the show at Fear the Sword. Chris and I do together, and we've been doing a bunch of fun projects there and really just having a fun time just riffing and, you know, just being brutally honest about our feelings on the Cavs. But I also cover the Cavs in a more professional setting. Not saying I don't fear the sword, Chris, but for Forbes as well. And I'm credentialed through them, and I do a lot of financial and analysis and things like that. And just also just the way the Cavs are spending their money and the players are spending their money, both on and off the court. Like, it's a lot of interesting stuff, but I've been doing this show for almost 9 months now, Chris. Can you believe it?
And has it really been 9 months?
It'll be 9 months and 15 days. We're recording this on September 8th. So, because my first episode is December
20th. Time isn't real.
It's not. And speaking of time not being real, you've spent 500 hours on Animal Crossing. Just wanted to remind you.
Okay, this is two episodes in a row. You've roasted me, and I have no shame.
You could like easily pull out your Switch and like call me out on games I spent too much time on.
No, I'm pro people finding their happiness amid a weird time in their life.
There you go.
Evan, if it wasn't for you, I never would have gotten a Switch and played a lot of Animal Crossing, just so you know.
I gave you such a bad pitch on that game too, and then I'm like, yeah, this is so fun, and then
there's literally an episode where I was like, Evan, what is this?
I'm like, and you like texted me ahead of time saying like, I need you to explain what Animal Crossing is to me. And I'm like, it's so hard to explain. It's The Sims with cute animals. And
yeah, but I want to just thank you and thank my she definitely doesn't listen. But thanks to my friend Ava Jones for being my Animal Crossing homies. But
no problem. One day you'll visit my island.
This is on you, not me. Anyway, let's talk about Ty Lue. Evan, I just want to do because we're going to, just for the first segment here, I don't think we need to lay out the case. I'm very public and on in Twitter and basically being like, Ty Lue's a really good coach, and I think you're dumb if you don't think otherwise. What do you think of Ty Lue as a coach?
Oh, I love Ty. He is the greatest coach in Cavaliers history. If anyone who likes to say LeBron was the coach, they don't know Jack. If it wasn't for Ty and his staff's, you know, scheming and tinkering, Ty is known as a masterful tactician in the playoffs, and I give him a lot of credit to figuring out that Harrison Barnes was the weakest link in the quote-unquote lineup of death of the Warriors and just kind of exploiting that mismatch and matchup and disrespecting Harrison in the to the point where the Cavs are able to win the title. So Ty is the best coach in Cavs history. I still wish it could have worked out that he was still coaching Cleveland now. I know he still wishes sometimes that he could too, but for his health's sake, and he shared this with me, like it did a lot of good for him mentally and physically to just kind of walk away from coaching for a bit. But he will not be Doc Rivers' top assistant for much longer. As soon as the NBA season's done and the Clippers season is over, he will be sitting pretty with probably a lot of good job offers on the table.
Yeah, there are some. I'm doing a Google search, and somehow my name showed up on a Clutch Points thing. That's weird.
Clutch Points, the official sponsor of Locked On Podcast, or partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for your support, Clutch Points.
Thank you. I think he struggled a little bit at the beginning, and then I think he really grew into the role. I think his best skill, in a way that I think undersells some of the stuff he is able to do, is. If you can call it LeBron James, you can call out James Harden, you can call out Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. You can call out the best player perhaps ever, and definitely the defining player of a generation, and a guy who shaped an organization in a lot of ways. That guy can go to anyone and have the respect. I think that's such a huge thing that he brings that a lot of other guys are not going to bring. If you talk about a head coach in modern sports as sort of like a CEO as much as he is a tactician, Ty is really good at that. Mm-hmm. I also think he is pretty good at distilling down like a strategy on what teams need to do. I think, you know, the Cavs were kind of a weird example in a lot of ways because the LeBron factor and stuff kind of does make it hard to know some of the stuff, and there's some things to consider. But this isn't a guy that like will go the whole regular season and like not have ideas for what they want to do in the playoffs. Like he will lay the foundation all year, even if they don't use it a lot in games, for example. Like
yeah.
This is a guy that will have game plans. He will prepare. He will tinker. He will do what he kind of needs to do and have the respect of the locker room to do it. Mm-hmm. And if there's a critique I would have, just not having – I'd have to go back and – to be fair, I would have to go back and do some game rewatching and stuff. But I would say that sometimes I felt like he could be a little one-note in his kind of attacks were. Like I firmly think – you could have been a little more creative in the offense in 2018, the last LeBron year, and emphasized Kevin Love a little bit more. I understand why you don't, but I mean, and obviously what they did in the playoffs clearly worked. Like LeBron plus shooting is like a pretty clear way to success. So I kind of get doing that. But I think Ty's good. And I will be really curious to see where he ends up and what kind of situation he deems as kind of the correct one for him, because I think that there's three jobs that he would make the most sense for this upcoming offseason. We're going to go through them. I think they'd be Houston, Philly, and New Orleans. I think he should be a pretty strong candidate. I thought he would have been good for Brooklyn. There is a Dave McMenamin story I found from like 2 years ago where he basically told Dave, like, or Dave shared a story on an ESPN hit where he was like, good luck getting through to that guy. So maybe like that's not something he wanted to do again. I can't speak to that. That is just kind of raw speculation on my part. But I think he should be a leading candidate for any job. And if for whatever reason, like he doesn't end up with a job this year, I think next year he should be one. And I think he's pretty clearly someone that should be kind of considered for a lot of jobs. I don't think he's this. I'm all for like let's get some new assistants in there. Trying to think of the guy's name. Matt Moore was always tweeting kind of him as a name. I'm forgetting the guy's name. I apologize. But there are, I think, a lot of options you could go with that are not Ty that are up-and-coming assistants. I also just think he's actually like a really good coach and wouldn't be like a dumb retread hire.
No, Ty isn't a retread hire because, again, he was let go because he and Kobe Altman weren't seeing eye to eye. Just the fact that Kobe wanted him to play the young guys and, you know, prioritize rebuilding. Ty wanted to stick with his vets and try and play winning basketball and everything, which, you know, I get it, but that led to his downfall.
And in the context of it, seemed like that's what the veteran players all expected.
Yes. JR
and then
especially.
Ty was like the scape. And Channing, it was pretty candid after the fact.
Yeah, and Korver not so much, but Korver was under the impression he'd be playing a lot more too, and it was a mess. Ty Lue's exit in Cleveland was a mess. It was actually at my best friend's wedding the day that morning after shaking off the wedding fun, finding out Ty was fired and having to piece together a story while driving back to Cleveland. But no, Ty was is the best coach in Cavs history. He has a lot of respect because he was able to look LeBron in the face and tell him he's the problem in Game 7 of the 2016 Finals, that he knew how to motivate LeBron, which is a beast in itself to command the respect of LeBron James. Very few coaches have it. It was Paul Silas. It was Eric Spoelstra eventually, because LeBron tried to get Spoelstra fired when he first went to Miami and get Pat Riley to step back down to that role. And it was Ty, and Ty is a guy I assume he respects Frank Vogel in LA. It's working for the most part, but I still think the Lakers may regret not being able to have Ty as their head coach, because he's able to take these high pressure situations and he's able to lead these guys into war and guide them through it. Because he's been Doc Rivers' assistant in Boston. He is now his assistant in Los Angeles. Like, he has a lot of experience learning behind arguably one of the best player coaches, at least of all time, because Doc is another good player. He's able to get the most out of his players by pushing the right buttons and figuring that out. Like, that's managing egos. And maybe it's something he learned from Phil Jackson as well, and playing in LA with Kobe and Shaq. And like, he's been in locker rooms. There's a lot of different big personalities, and he's learned how to push the right buttons and figure it out. And like, that's huge. And I was actually watching something the other day, and Jimmy Johnson of the Dallas Cowboys, like, he studied psychology in college and he wanted to be a psychiatrist for some corporation, but then he learned that coaching is a lot like psychiatry, and you need to learn how to communicate and work these players and bring the best out of them by being their biggest motivator. And like, some of it's that rah-rah stuff, but Ty was able to motivate this team. And I agree, I think Philly, after the Brooklyn job went away, which I don't agree with, I think Ty was the best option for Brooklyn. After that went away, I think it goes Philly, and then it goes Houston, and then it goes New Orleans, because I know Ty was really vehement in sticking it out in Cleveland because he wanted to develop a team and kind of shape Colin Sexton in his ideal point guard mold. And then I would assume he'd do the same with Darius and wouldn't break Dylan Windler like John Boeheim did in summer league. And I mean, like, oh no, no player would get hurt. Dylan Windler will never get hurt under Ty Lue because the Cavs would never practice. Just a lot of things that, and so the Pelicans make a lot of sense there too, but I'm still waiting to see what this Milwaukee situation unfolds with. And if Giannis just gives the Bucks one more chance and says, like, listen, I need you to take this seriously or else I'm gone, hiring Ty is the first step in the right direction. Because again, Budenholzer's a coach who, he's a perfect example of a coach who refuses to make adjustments and rather rest on his laurels and his regular season success and then make adjustments in the playoffs to fix what's wrong and, you know, win in a series. But Ty coached the Cavs to 3 consecutive NBA finals, won a championship in one of them. He was David Blatt's lead assistant and more or less was coaching the team for the most part in the playoffs in that year as well. So he has a hefty resume underneath him, but also it was a weird situation in Cleveland and why he's not here. So it wouldn't really be a retread hire in my opinion, but I think we're in agreement that those three would be the best options. But I think Milwaukee is a sneaky best option depending on what they do with Budenholzer.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break here. I want to tell everyone real quick, though, about DoorDash. DoorDash, obviously, you know DoorDash. They've been a great sponsor of the show. And when you need food you're craving right now, you can get it right to your door. You count on restaurants and DoorDash, and now they're counting on you. DoorDash can help you support your favorites. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with new contactless delivery drop-off. And they have over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, so you can support your local go-tos or support your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and Evan, do your joke.
Baker Mayfield's favorite, the Cheesecake Factory. I can make an Odell joke, but it feels like it's in poor taste.
No, we're not doing that. Any of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And with that, we'll be right back to talk about fits for Ty. Okay, All right, Evan. So we've outlined.
We're talking about fits for tie. Ties.
We've outlined four fits.
I was gonna make a tie joke, but okay.
Oh, make the joke.
I mean, blue and black is a fashion faux pas to begin with. So if you're wearing black, you kind of go with more darker colors other than navy. And with navy, you have a lot more options there. So those are usually your bases. And then gray is a bit of a wild card too. You could add some fun colors there, but. You know, it's just, it's interesting. You can depend on patterns, too. Like, the pattern, you don't want to clash patterns too much. You don't want to look tacky, but no. There's some good tie fits out there. But speaking of Ty Lue, Chris, let's talk about his fits.
Okay, so I think Chicago doesn't make sense for him.
Oh, absolutely not.
Not, like, I don't think it's he's, like, bad for a team that is still growing.
Chicago needs to hire a young assistant that can grow with this team. And kind of, you know, play to their strengths. And I think since they hired Denver's top assistant, I think, or top executive to be their, I think, is he their general manager or is he their president of basketball operations?
He's running the show. Arturis is running the show.
Okay, so I...
Regardless what his title is, he's running the show.
He's running the show. And I think Jordy Fernandez, a former Cleveland connection and Canton Charge head coach, makes a lot of sense for what Chicago's
who interviewed for the Cavs.
Yes, also interviewed for the Cavs. I think you can take a player develop. You want to focus more on player development, and I think Ty, yeah, he's an ugly fit for Chicago. Proceed.
Okay. What is your favorite of the Philly, of Houston, of...
Philly.
Okay.
Philly.
Explain why. I have actually very much soured on this, so I'm curious to see what your logic is here.
Maybe I'm just not caught up like you are, but I think Brett Brown was a good coach to develop talent in Philly. I think before they made the Tobias Harris trade and before they made the Jimmy Butler trade, they had like Markelle Fultz, they had Dario Saric, they had Robert Covington is a tried and true example of Brett Brown being a great player development coach. And then Embiid and Simmons, I mean, they were already great prospects coming in, but Brett Brown was able to make the most out of them. But wasn't able to push the buttons, more or less just looked flabbergasted in the playoffs. I mean, the Sixers had some decent runs under Brett Brown in the playoffs, but they weren't able to push themselves over the edge because they didn't have the guy to push the right buttons for this team. And I think with Ty, he could get the most out of Joel because he's able to work as a motivator and maybe force Joel to get in a better shape and, you know, play a little bit versatile. And since Ty is a tinker as well, he can be a little bit more versatile. But I think the biggest thing here is Ty will make Ben Simmons play power forward instead of point guard, and it'll stop driving me insane that the Sixers try to keep getting cute with Ben Simmons playing point. But like, you can still have Ben play point forward, but I don't know. The Sixers are a mess in themselves, and I don't want to wish that front office on Ty, but I think he is the perfect candidate to maximize the potential of Ben and Joel, and then hopefully Elton Brand learns the error of his ways and gets rid of Tobias Harris and Al Horford, who are arguably the two worst contracts in the NBA now, and then just build forward from there. And it's a long road ahead, but I like the Philly fit for Ty just because I think he can maximize their potential with Simmons and Embiid.
So I think he should be number one on Philly's list too.
He was for a second, and then it was a unforced error by our radio host.
Regardless, if I'm him, I'm not super thrilled. I'd be, depending on what else is out there, I don't know if I'd be in a rush to take that job.
That's fair.
Because there's not a lot of... That roster is just such a mess. I don't know if there's a coach on earth that can make the Horford thing work.
No, they're really...
I just don't know what the full upside of that job is. I think the other two jobs out there have much higher upside.
You think Houston has upside? Houston is circling the drain, my man.
I'm going to make a case for Houston in the next segment.
Okay, well, I don't think Houston has one. I mean, if you want to go with, like...
I don't think it's the best stylistic fit for Ty. I think there's a case for Houston.
Okay. Well,
I think the best job for him is New Orleans.
Yeah, in terms of upside, yes, because you have Zion, you have Lonzo, you have Hart, you have Brandon Ingram, you have Jackson Hayes, you have a lot of fun young pieces. Nikhil Alexander Walker, just to keep naming names here.
If you want all of those young guys to like learn how to be pros, to learn the rigors of the NBA, to be able to play different ways, to be held accountable at a really high level, Ty Lue is 100% that guy.
No, he 100% is, and we saw it best under the Orlando bubble. Like, New Orleans, Lonzo especially, were mentally checked out the entire time, and like that led to Alvin Gentry's downfall. And I'm still curious how this team fell apart so quickly, because they were playing well when Zion came back under Gentry, but I didn't think Gentry was the best fit for New Orleans, and I kind of got the impression since he and Griff had a connection in Phoenix together that kind of saved him some time as well. But, you know, after the debacle in Orlando, that really wasn't it. And I agree. In terms of upside, New Orleans is the best fit for Ty, and he would get the most out of every single one of those young players. And it'd be fun to see what he could get out of not just Zion, but Lonzo as well, because I think people dog on Lonzo too much, and I think he'd be a lot of fun with a veteran point guard like Ty, who is a defensive tactician, mind you. He was the guy who orchestrated the Cavs' defense in the playoffs every year. It'd be a lot of fun to see an elite defensive prospect like Lonzo Ball under Ty Lue's guidance.
I think that's fair. I think if I'm New Orleans, I think you just want someone who can kind of hold Zion accountable to a high level and kind of do that, and then maybe you bring in like a really, really elite offensive assistant to kind of help modernize the offense and just kind of get, because like I don't think what Ty has kind of orchestrated in Cleveland with LeBron and Kyrie and now is kind of doing in with the Clippers is really kind of what New Orleans is going to want to do. I don't think that's necessarily David Griffin's kind of offensive choice. So if I were them, I would probably want to pair him with like a really inventive kind of a Chris Finch, I think, is the guy that I was trying to think of before.
Yeah.
And he should be a candidate as well. But I think New Orleans is a really good fit. But Evan, before I make the case for Houston, why don't you just tell everyone about two great sponsors we have? Well,
let me tell you, Chris and Zion, if you happen to be listening, you need to cut some weight and bulk up a little bit more, even though you're a muscle-bound freak. Let me tell you about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar ever. Built Bar is back, and the new and improved Built Bar is even more deliciouser. We have always the 12 classic flavors like coconut almond, German chocolate, peanut butter, mint brownie, double chocolate, orange, and even peanut butter brownie, but we have 6 new players joining the cast, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, which, as always, I love a fantastic food pun. Lemon almond
cheese. I had that one. It's great.
There you go. Chris can vouch for it. Lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. And like I said, Built Bars are great for the health conscious guy or gal. They help you lose and maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for keto diets. And as a type 1 diabetic, I cannot get enough of them because they help me enjoy a sweet treat without my blood sugars going out of whack. One of my favorite flavors, and again, a great food pun, is Cherry Barcia, and they have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams, and 4 grams of net carbs. And also, Locked On Cavs listener Joe Kohler says, "The taste of real chocolate combined with great flavors makes for a great snack every day. As a fan of Locked On Cavs, I enjoy the sponsored Built Bar. The best part is, they are perfect for weight loss, and they only cost 3 to 4 points on my Weight Watchers diet. It's impossible to find a good-tasting protein bar that is larger in size and excellent in taste. I have lost 25 pounds so far, and Built Bar has helped me save on those midday cravings." So, for our listeners, if you order today, you can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last, but in order to do that, you need to go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and there you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. And thanks to our other sponsor, OhioVersusEveryone.com. I want to tell you about this new website that just launched in early August called OhioVersusEveryone.com. The site covers all Ohio sports and pop culture. They have in-depth, interesting articles about the Cavs, Browns, Indians, and even the Ohio State Buckeyes. One of our favorite articles recently was them breaking down draft prospects. They really touched base on Anthony Edwards, which was just, you know, an insightful piece from the folks over at Ohio Versus Everyone. Again, it's all your favorite teams all in one site, and because they cover all the teams, they bring you only the best, most interesting topics. Check them out. Again, it's OhioVersusEveryone.com. That's OhioVSEveryone.com.
All right, we're back. Here's the case for me for Houston. I don't love it. I don't think Ty is ideologically in sync with what Houston does. I don't think Ty is like anti-analytics or like.
Ha.
I didn't even realize I did that. I'm glad I did. What is going on there is not necessarily what I think Ty would want to do.
No.
That said.
Go ahead.
if you're looking for like a CEO who can design string defenses, who can kind of maximize that what's going on there, and you're trying to win kind of now, I could see that being an interesting landing spot. I just like look at them, and if like D'Antoni's done there, and it seemingly that's the case, I don't really know like what else you do other than try to hire like Ty Lue, you know? Mm-hmm. What are you doing there if you're letting D'Antoni go? I guess you could throw Indiana. If I'm Indiana, I'd probably call about Ty, but I don't think it totally makes sense for anyone there. No. I could see Houston being like somewhere that they would want Ty. I guess I just don't know if it's like ideologically like again in sync kind of with what Ty does, but I think he would offer some stuff that maybe D'Antoni doesn't. The money part of it would be interesting because I think one of the concerns with D'Antoni is that he was expensive and Ty is going to demand like deservedly 4 years of a guaranteed deal, it was the hang up with the Lakers of all things, which is partly why
he's looking for $7 million a year last time I checked.
And maybe he asked for less because it's a pandemic, but Ty is gonna have leverage to ask for what he wants, and like maybe that's a downfall for Houston. But if I'm them, I don't hate the idea of them trying to do Ty. I think that could make some sense just in terms of trying to win right now with Harden and trying to maximize what they have there. I think you could do a lot worse than going that right if D'Antoni's done that.
I mean, if Houston really wants to cheap out, because apparently Tillman Fertitta is like the least financially successful owner in terms of NBA owners, they could always like, you know, back pay him with like gift cards to Joe's Crab Shack and stuff, like, or Morton's Steakhouse, I guess. I mean, I'm just trying to be cheeky here, but I think this Houston fit's terrible because there's a lot of fun defensive pieces like for Ty to play with. Like Robert Covington that's a chef's kiss. In terms of defensive versatility and switchability, like, oh my gosh, I'd love to see him in a Ty Lue defensive system. PJ Tucker would be a lot of fun. I think he could maybe make Harden care about defense and maybe make Russ care a little bit about defense to at least find a way to mask their deficiencies. But if Houston doesn't win, and they realize, okay, we reached critical mass at this point where we have a very hefty Russell Westbrook contract. We have James Harden's insanely good, but there's only so much more retooling the Rockets can do to build around James Harden. I feel like Russ was their last ditch effort to try and make it work before and then the Rockets just kind of blow this thing apart. But then you look at it that way, like you have James Harden, which is great, but you have Russ, who maybe is gone if the Rockets are able to fleece some team for him or just find a way to move him. But like that, it's going to be like a Cleveland situation, but it's a lot more dire because Houston doesn't have any picks. They are strapped financially for the future. The owner is trying to pinch pennies every chance he can get. Like, I just feel like this is going to be such an ugly and awkward fit. Like you said, like offensively, stylistically, doesn't work. Defensively, like, there are some pieces that do work, but I am not a fan of this Houston thing. And like, I get it. Like, this is if you bring back the same Rockets roster, you're guaranteed to make the playoffs. And maybe, and the other thing that just kind of sucks with the Rockets is the front office more or less doesn't let the coaches do what they want. Like Mike D'Antoni is known for like a 7 seconds or less, like free firing offense. And Daryl Morey's, you know, basketball nerd thing of threes, dunks, layups and free throws. And like just being that stylistically, like one of the most unfun teams to watch. Like that's not D'Antoni's bread and butter. And like, if D'Antoni's able to go to a team like Indiana, like he was linked to, where they think he is their favorite to coach them next year after they foolishly let McMillan go, I think it'd be fun to see D'Antoni actually like have a little bit of fun to be able to be creative offensively again. Like, I wonder if how much control this front office has on like the operations of this Houston team, and what if that plays a factor in like Ty just not really be able to do what he wants. And like, yeah, sure, he can push the buttons of Harden and Westbrook and make them like really care and push them to the limit, but that only goes so far. And with the money he's trying to command, I feel like the Rockets could look elsewhere. And I think Houston's just kind of circling the drain of being just a very bad team soon.
It's possible. All right, so let's wrap up here. Power rank the possible Ty Lue jobs for this year. And then if you were him, well, I guess you made the case for the Bucks already, yeah. And I think that I would look at that too if they do fire Bud. And as of, we're recording this episode, you're listening to this on Thursday, but we're recording this
Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Before, at the end of the we're finishing up here at the end of the third quarter of Bucks Heat game 5. Miami at the time is up 73-65.
It's a slugfest.
power rank the open jobs. Include the Bucks in there if you want.
Bucks would be number one if it becomes available, and then you've convinced me enough that because of how unstable Philly is, I go New Orleans 2, Philly 3, Houston 4. What about you?
I'm not going to put Milwaukee in there just because I think what's going on there is just hard for me to kind of discern in a lot of ways, but I'm going to go New Orleans, Philly. New Orleans, Houston, Philly would be my order.
Or put Milwaukee in if it suddenly became
probably
available.
Two.
Okay, I think that's fair.
Just because, like, I think you want to tie yourself to the most sustainable thing possible, and it's totally possible you want to hit the eject button.
Tying yourself to the Bucks. Chris, you are a pun master tonight, my man.
Killing it.
You are.
I'm sorry about talking about Ty for our friend Ty.
Ty, if you're listening and want to learn more about Ty, order some Thai food and give me a call sometime, and we'll talk about Ty.
I almost wonder if, like, I wonder what it would look like if he waits another year and just works for the Clippers for another year.
That's another ideal situation.
It's impossible to know, you know? Like, I don't know what jobs are theoretically going to be open in a year. It's not like some, like, it's not like Boston, which is a great job, is going to open up. It's not like Toronto is going to open up. The Lakers don't seem likely to open up. The Clippers, obviously, I don't think are kind of likely to open up. Like, what are the, New Orleans is kind of the up and coming job, I would think.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look at a full list of teams right now just to make sure I'm not missing anyone.
Not Sacramento.
And I think it'd be. I'm looking at the league. It's like, okay, Spo is kind of locked in. Maybe the Steve Nash thing blows up. That's a thing, I guess. You know, there's not like a ton of kind of obvious jobs in the East, and you go out west. Like, you know, it's. I mean, Rick Carlisle is entrenched there. There's just like a lot of entrenched guys. Where I don't think he's gonna like usurp anyone in a clear way. So maybe you jump on, even if you don't love it, maybe you kind of have to just jump on Philly.
Excuse me, I think that makes a lot of sense in that regard, and I just don't think there's gonna be a lot of openings, but I do know Ty was more than comfortable before he joined Doc's staff with just waiting it out and seeing what happens. He could just wait it out with Clippers. Well, Doc hounded him to no end to join his coaching staff and like have him be his lead assistant, which.
And brought in the Boston in the first place.
That Doc connection is really strong, and like maybe the Philly front office situation turns him off, or maybe the overall scheme of Houston turns him off, or maybe Griff tries to big brain this and bring in like an up and coming assistant to grow with this Pelican squad instead of finding a proven coach like Ty. Like the Pelicans make the most sense, and maybe like the Milwaukee thing, the uncertainty with Giannis, like he isn't too committed to that or in love with that idea either. So yeah, no, I could see him sticking with the Clippers for another year. And it's a shame if then we just see Ty become more of a career assistant coach because he was so damn good with the Cavs, and I hope that's not the case.
I'm going to wrap this up here with a quote from that Kevin Love said in 2019 on First Things First. Here's the quote. This is when he was a candidate for the Lakers job, for context. I think Ty Lue is a guy that is made to coach a team like LA and either inherit or take over a great team like we have, but also build a culture, build a team, and know how to deal with each player and every player and an individual. I think Ty is a guy that's going to be successful anywhere, and I just think him finding the right job and kind of finding a place where he's going to be empowered to succeed and hopefully obviously be healthier than he was toward the end of his kind of last stretch, I think would be a really, really good thing for him and whatever team is enough to hire him.
Ty, if you happen to be listening, we wish you nothing but the best, and we miss you in Cleveland.
A Cavs legend through and through.
Ty ended in Cleveland. I think we call you.
I'm on a roll, Evan.
You are on a roll, my man.
On that note, Evan, send us out.
As always, wash your hands, wear a mask, practice proper social distancing. We cannot beat this pandemic unless you're fully committed. Register to vote because your voice matters more and more. And if you're as shocked as I am with the current state in the political landscape of this country, let's make a change in November to make sure this doesn't continue to happen. And the Cavs are back in less than a week.
Back-ish.
So
let's call it back-ish.
So go Cavs. Back-ish. Their own personal bubble, which is nice. So
And then tweet us Cavs. Your Skyfall thoughts at Lockdown Cavs. We'll talk to you soon.